good morning, afternoon, and evening to everybody. And Sheldon, good morning.
Hey. To the worldwide listeners.
The global audience.
The global audience. The global community.
That's right.
Cool. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing great. Yeah, I was actually this time really listening to the intro music and just kind of remembering when we were in the studio making that song. That was a lot of fun.
Awesome.
With a Gretsch hollow body Falcon guitar, beautiful guitars, and a Strymon timeline delay on there. Love those pedals.
Cool.
Little tech geeking out there.
Yeah, seriously. Tech music geek out.
That's right.
So, okay. Nice, Scott.
You're like, uh-huh.
you're thinking about that since you're going to get back into the studio soon.
Yes, we are. Yeah, at the end of the month, we're going to be starting with drum tracks, and we'll have another EP out, probably 5 or 6 songs this time again.
Awesome.
I think all originals, we might do one cover, so we'll see.
And it'll be stuff similar to the first album or first EP, which was kind of course-related, love, fear-related, whatever, healing, all that kind of stuff, or what?
Yeah, I think there's definitely, I still tend to have themes around trying to be more conscious with your thoughts. Mm-hmm. I kind of have one song, it's sort of maybe not as serious. It's called In India. It's about, in my opinion, I think Jesus probably lived in India, at least for some part of his life. And then it's kind of a fun song about maybe thinking about, you know, Jesus, what his life was like before he was famous in the Bible.
Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. Those lost years or whatever.
Different themes, yeah. And in one song, actually, it's turning out to be about another Seattle musician who's going through ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. And, you know, I don't know how much longer he's going to be with us, but this guy is amazing. He's a history teacher in school. He can't do that anymore because he's now wheelchair bound. He literally, I don't know if he can speak anymore. And I don't know why, but this song is about him. And just sometimes we just have people here that just have beautiful hearts and minds. And it's just sort of a celebration to him and to people like that.
Cool. It's beautiful. Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So
are we doing meditation or reading quotes or?
Yeah, we'll do a meditation today. I guess I'll lead that one today. And today's topic is?
Specialness? Are you asking?
I was hoping you would jump right in. It was like the improv thing.
Oh, I did. Specialness. I inflected improperly, made it sound like a question, right?
Which is good. Sort of
specialness
like
specialness?
Yeah, we'll do. We'll talk special relationships. Cool. I think that's something that it kind of piques people's interest when they see that topic in the course. And I think there's a lot of curiosity around, well, what does that mean? And what does that mean about the relationships that I have in my life? That kind of thing.
It's kind of like talking about everything.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, we'll do the meditation. We'll talk about special relationships. And then, of course, there's a call-in number if anyone really feels the urge. And it doesn't have to be related to the our topic today. Just anything about A Course in Miracles, your experiences, your questions. Can call in live.
And stun us.
Stun us, yeah. Stump Sheldon. Stun and stump Sheldon.
Yes.
That's the goal. And that number to call in live is 888-627-6008. So I'm sure there's some fingers ready to dial in at any
start point. You start with the 888 good luck numbers.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. Okay. So if you're ready, Sheldon.
Let's go.
We will do the meditation for today.
Let's dive deep.
Let's go deep.
Dive. Here we go.
Okay. All right. So for those listening now, again, just get in a comfortable position. If you're seated, you could lay down. Just go ahead and close your eyes. And if you're doing work or driving around, this is not the time to do this. You can listen later on the recording. But go ahead and take a nice deep breath in and just slowly let it out. Just allow all the things that have built up over the week to just release every time that you exhale. And as you breathe in, you can just imagine just love and peace and spirit flowing in through you. And then out is just a release of any tension, any thoughts that might be creating tension, any disruptive thoughts about things that you might have to do. Just let it all out. And then just take one more deep breath in and slowly let it out. Good. And now bring your attention to your heart. And intentionally call in now Spirit, Holy Spirit, or symbols of that. It could be Ascended Masters, it could be Jesus, could be Mary Magdalene, whatever represents that ascended aspect of yourself. And allow that to grow and manifest, that feeling or that visual to grow in your heart center and just surround you in just love and peace and protection. And just notice as that happens, it's probably burning away or dissolving away maybe any tensions, any discomforts, or any thoughts that might be disrupting you. And just allow that all to dissolve and just enjoy the way that feels. And now with this symbol that you've generated and feel or see in your heart center, now I'd like for you to imagine or remember the relationships that you have in your life, maybe the ones that are just very strong. They could be even very positive relationships, or maybe strong in the sense that they don't feel good. That person doesn't feel good to you, or there's tension there, or discord, or maybe arguments. But don't discern. Just allow whoever, whatever, could be groups, could be individuals, to just come in now. Come in around your heart center. And maybe some of you will feel this. Some of you may see, or both, or hear. Just allow whatever input to come in. And just sort of scan and notice who or what is present. And there doesn't need to be any guilt or shame or discomfort around any of this. Because it's not really your job to transform these relationships into holy relationships, which are just pure, no attachments, just loving, free. And just now symbolically hand these people or groups over to the symbol that you brought in, to Holy Spirit or whatever Ascended Master or symbol that you have. And just allow this Christ symbol to allow these relationships to just dissolve into peace and love. There's nothing that you need to do except just let go and allow. Allow these relationships to dissolve into love and peace and joy. And as this transformation takes place, just allow yourself to enjoy how that feels. Notice where you may be feeling this. Notice any images or sounds as well. Maybe even sense. Just enjoy the way that feels. And again, if there's any discomfort still, just continue to offer that over to the Christ symbol that you have. And just know that that discomfort will go away. May not be immediate, but over time it will. it's being worked on in its own way, its own time. And now, once again, just accept the gift from the Christ symbol back into your heart center, just filling back up with peace and love and joy back to you. The gift that you offered up gets returned back always. And in this case, it's pure love, pure peace, and pure joy, which is your nature, which is who you really are. And remember this. Great. And now, maybe at this time, just offer a final thank you, or take a moment, maybe listen, see if there's a message for you at this time from, again, the Christ symbol. Just take a few moments to listen with all of your senses. Good. And now, with gratitude and thanks, allow this Christ symbol to continue on supporting you on your journey in this lifetime. As you now just put your attention back onto your body, your physical body, and maybe just wiggle your toes, your hands, just allow yourself to come back, your awareness back in your body, but still try to maintain the feeling, the memory of that state that you were just in. You can have both. And now just begin moving more and more of your body around, becoming more aware. And if you feel it's appropriate, you can open your eyes at this point or take another moment before you do that. And just come back into your awareness now of the room that you're in, the space that you're in. Good. And just come back fully, and now you can make sure that your eyes are open and you're fully present again.
And you're still on the road if you were driving.
Good reminder.
That was awesome. Wow. I saw my mom and my dad.
Really?
My dad, who has passed away like 15 years ago, my mom, who was on knocking on that door, and they were divorced and not in the best of relationship, but I saw them together, very happy. It was beautiful.
Wow.
It was actually kind of cool.
Yeah, it's, again, that was really, you know, it's really quick, all these little meditations that we do. And I mean, if you can literally start your day out, and even just a couple minutes a day, and just connect like this, you can go really deep, really fast.
Yeah, for sure. And then I got, you're not alone. You're never alone. We're with you always.
Yeah, and I'm curious for you, Sheldon, you know, what, when you call in like a Christ conscious sort of a symbol, what comes in for you, if anything?
I just feel the vibration in my chest, right?
Mm-hmm.
This time, which was interesting for me, the Holy Spirit was the white light that looks like the dove.
Mm-hmm.
So it actually had, it's kind of like a white light with a big star kind of sparkly thing that radiates out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen something like that where it, that's, I think, why they call it a dove, right? Because it kind of looks like this weird angular radiance that goes off from a center point, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that. And so that's what I put into the light, is my mom and my dad into that. And then it sort of dissolved up into light. It actually took a really long time for that to happen. The whole time you were talking about it, it was very, very slow, this process of like melting into this light.
Yeah.
And then it was almost like the light's wrapping around them, almost like the dove's wings are wrapping around it, you know, but it was just light radiating and engulfing them. And then it was beautiful. That was really cool. And I'm not super visual on some things. It's just opening up a little bit. So that was nice.
Okay.
That was awesome. How about you?
Cool. Well, yeah, again, when I'm doing things, I'm not really experiencing too much. Although I do notice, and it seems to have been coming in for several years now. It's interesting, like reading The Disappearance of the Universe. I know a lot of people seem to resonate with like Jesus and bringing Jesus in. But for me, I've always had this strong resonance with Mary. And at first I thought it was the mother, the Virgin Mary, but really I think it's Jesus's. And I do, this kind of gets in the realm of suspect. And I know some groups probably would agree and other groups would be like, no, I don't agree with that. But Mary Magdalene, for me, I in my heart, I feel like she was ascended master mm-hmm. with Jesus mm-hmm. in that lifetime. She was his equal. And, you know, whether she was, you know, a prostitute or not, I don't know. And it doesn't matter because I just feel in my heart that she achieved, that peace that we all desire at an ascended level, you know, in that lifetime. And so for me, that's the symbol I identify with. And I felt like that presence was coming in while I was talking. And that is pretty beautiful.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. JM, you know, for Way of Mastery, which is a continuation of the Course in Miracles, he has a whole thing on Mary Magdalene, where he was in France, where she spent the last years of his life, and he channels.
Right. Yeah.
And the teaching, the sound on it is really, really screwed up, but it's like a 1 hour or 1.5 hour talk where he, you know, talks about, it's Jeshua, but he basically is describing his whole relationship with her.
Oh, wow.
And it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It is powerful. And yeah, I think you're right on. You know, I mean, you're right on. She was like totally with him, total his equal. You know, he said they met as kids. There's an immediate connection. Then they separated for years. And then he met her again as adults. And he said the connection reestablished. And she was like a high priestess. She was totally, you know, part of the Essene community. They're both parents. And you know, she held the radiant space for him. That's why she was with him right before, because she anchored the light, you know, helped him mm-hmm. hold space, you know, and anchor that while he's going to go through this kind of very intense ritual, if you will, which is a mm-hmm. crucifixion. So she was the one holding the space. She was the one guide, you know, being with him. And he did make some very, when JM channels Jeshua, he's very good at being very discreet.
Okay.
And very subtle in how he says it. But basically what it sounded like, what I got, was that, you know, there was the use of intimacy, I think is the way he put it, as a way of conveying energy sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And that the wedding at Cana, there were seven couples, they were one of them, you know, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, he's just like, yeah, I was too overenthusiastic. I knew I mastered a technique, but I hadn't mastered good judgment about when to use it. And yeah, I turned the water into wine because my mom wanted some more and I just wanted to make her happy, you know, but I didn't realize that all these people who were here who hadn't seen that kind of thing before, and they freaked out, right? You know, because I guess the Essenes, he said, they knew how to do that. He goes, I was trained by the Essenes. We knew how to do it. And it was something that was taught. And, you know, and so he does the whole thing. And then, you know, so they're married, but only in this sense of like spiritual kind of, you know, bonding and, you know, unity, but not like exclusivity in specialness, which is a good lead into what we're talking about here.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. Yeah, exactly.
You know, he goes, he went to like 10, 15 minute description of what that quote unquote marriage meant and how it doesn't mean what we conceive of that to mean, which is your special. It meant mm-hmm. just like a decision to travel beside each other kind of thing. You know what I mean? It was very different. It's hard to describe, but basically it didn't mean anything about exclusivity in any fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And that there were times where both he and she used physical intimacy as a way of connecting with somebody and showing energy and sharing energy. So, mm-hmm. you know, if you're using like a tantric kind of a method, right, to help somebody heal or go through a connection, and you're a woman and you did that with more than one person, you would be called something not nice, right?
Yeah.
Like prostitute.
Prostitute,
you know?
Yep.
You know, or a slut or whatever. So it mm-hmm. kind of made sense that, okay, that's how that happened, you know?
Mm-hmm.
If she was doing that work and she had done that with one or two guys, even if it was one or two, there were people who were in fear, in judgment, who mm-hmm. would say, oh my gosh, what a whore, what a prostitute. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then that's what got carried down, because some of those people were in power
mm-hmm.
and they were threatened by her power.
Definitely. Yeah. And I think, there's, you know, there supposedly is a Magdalene Bible, you know, or you know, set of historical documents that have been hidden, or the church definitely doesn't want that out there. Mm-hmm. For, I think, for obvious reasons, the patriarchal structure that they have. But yeah, I mean, I just think that there is, it makes sense that, you know, there would be a balanced approach to this, that you would have male and female that have ascended basically and have their perspective on it.
Mm-hmm.
Also, just for reference, you mentioned France, but if anyone ever goes to Paris, I highly recommend going to the Mary Magdalene Church. It's really is, you know, it's obviously physically beautiful, but it's really neat to see that there is a church out there that kind of glorifies her. And I think has, you know, is touching on that aspect of the, you know, that ascended nature of her. And it's probably one of the rare architectures and churches in the world that really honor that. And I think there's probably a few others. But yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, JM has done teachings in, I think it's Provence or something like that, south of France somewhere, some caves, I guess.
That's another location.
Definitely, it was, you know, he was really, the gesture was really beautiful about how he said something like, if there is nobody that I know could think of or something. He was very emphatic, mm-hmm. that embodied the full embodiment of the Christ light,
mm-hmm.
than her.
Yep.
It's making me emotional just thinking about it, because it's like, when you think about that, you know, here's Jesus saying there was nobody who embodied it better and more fully than she did.
Yeah.
And then he was in a kind of a way like, my job was done after the crucifixion, you know what I mean? I left, you know, and she sat mm-hmm. there and, you know, through all of the kind of ridicule or whatever. And he goes, she wasn't mm-hmm. exiled. She left to France. She had people greeting her there. She was totally, you know, kept and mm-hmm. cared for and honored and all that kind of stuff, and continued teaching for like 30 or 40 years,
mm-hmm.
you know, but still had to deal with the world and all this stuff. You know, he was just like, she was the embodiment. She's the person that I look to and say, wow, you know, if I could do it, kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. And in that story, I mean, yeah, you can see where there would be the holy relationship and also special relationship that would be apparent, you know, with any physical relationship, mm-hmm. but also the relationship with like the apostles and Jesus, apostles and Mary. Mm-hmm. You could tell that there's definitely jealousy and or fear. On. Yeah, a lot of that, which really gets into the, you know, the topic today, which is special relationships. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I definitely have a quote I would love to read, Nichella. I don't know if you have one either that has
relates. I pulled one out of a hat.
All right. Do you want to go ahead or do you want me to?
I would like you to.
Okay. So the quote that I picked about special relationship is in the text. It's chapter 15, section 7, paragraph 10. And it is, whenever you are angry, you can be sure that you have formed a special relationship which the ego has blessed, for anger is its blessing. That's right. That's right awesome. To it. Yeah.
That's
I like
hilarious.
That because it keeps it goes back to, you know, the course is all about what's going on in your mind, right? It's not really about what's going on with the bodies. It's really about what's going on with your mind. So you could have a relationship with somebody and it could either be holy or special just by based on your frame of mind.
Mhm. That's awesome. So I'll read mine, which is in a section on specialness versus sinlessness, which I just opened up to when we were like, oh, the topic is specialness, and I flipped open and opened it. So I figured, okay, here we go.
Nice.
It is page, section, chapter 24, The Goal of Specialness, section 4, Specialness versus Sinlessness. And it's basically, I'm going to read most of the first paragraph and this couple sentences into the second. So I'm going to skip it a little bit, but it says, specialness is a lack of trust in anyone except yourself. Faith is invested in yourself alone. Everything else becomes your enemy, feared and attacked, deadly and dangerous, hated and worthy only of destruction. And then it goes on and it says, here is death enthroned as savior. Crucifixion is now redemption, and salvation can only mean destruction of the world except yourself. What purpose? What could the purpose of the body be but specialness? And it is this that makes it frail and helpless in its own defense, as we conceived it to make you, as it was conceived to make you frail and helpless. The goal of separation is its curse. Yet bodies have no goal. The purpose is of the mind, and minds can change as they desire. So, kind of right back into what you were saying, and much more wordy, but into the mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the decision within the mind.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm still working on all this. So, you know, it's not
right.
Like this is a, you can say, oh, with, you know, my friend or my girlfriend or that guy, that's one big special relationship or one big holy relationship, because it's moment by moment. Mm-hmm. You're flipping from sometimes having a holy relationship where it's just open, beautiful, free, loving, to special, where it's like all of a sudden you're judging, you're condemning, or you're
absolutely,
you know, in fear around it. And then it flipped. That's what the special relationship is, because then you're siding with the ego. And so any ego-based perspective on anything is a special relationship.
Right. And you can have it with your dog or your cat.
Yeah.
Your job, yeah. Your car, your house, right?
That's, yeah, very good. Yep.
So everything is in relationship, right?
Mm-hmm.
As long as we feel like we're in a body which is separated on some level, in other words, we're not in beingness, which is all of it, everything. We're mm-hmm. in this sense of isolation into a body, which is what spirit has done in incarnating, right, into the body, is you have, when you feel like you're in your body, you feel like you're separate. So mm-hmm. then you have, you know, it's impossible to have a relationship when you only have one, right? Because there's nothing to be in relation to. But when you feel that, then you feel a sense of specialness. So it's always inherent into our incarnation in this dimension, right? So it's not like it's something that will go away. Like you were saying, you have moments where you feel completely connected and one, and you know what I mean? But you can also flip back.
Mm-hmm.
You always, because that's a decision that's made in the mind, so you can flip it.
Yep, exactly. So I'm kind of feeling like maybe in this show I'll be doing a lot of quotes, because there's so many great quotes about special relationships. And I think it's good to probably quote the course, because it's one of the themes I think really throws people off quite a bit. At least that's what I've seen. And I know I went through it studying and seen other course study groups. But here's another one from the text, chapter 16, section 5, paragraph 12. Whenever any form of special relationship tempts you to seek for love in ritual, remember love is content and not form of any kind. The special relationship is a ritual of form aimed at raising the form to take the place of God at the expense of content. So again, you know, this, if you're not familiar with the course or reading through the text a lot, you know, it gets wordy, and it kind of, it's meant for you to kind of read everything pretty slow. But basically, you know, when I read something like that, it's, again, getting back to a special relationship is anything where you put form above spirit.
Above content, like it said, right? Yeah,
which yeah, is exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, content is spirit. Form, of course, is the body. You know, so if your relationship is only about the body or about the ego stuff, you know, like judging someone's behavior or their body, you know, again, I was surprised.
We're using a ritual to make you special.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody.
I got blessed. I'm more special than you are. You know, or
exactly.
Whatever.
Or, you know, like I was talking to somebody and, you know, they're basically saying, well, my partner, you know, I was really disappointed that they're letting their body go. You know, they put on a few pounds and then just went out and attacked their partner. And they thought they were perfectly justified. You know, like I expect my partner to be in good shape. And I was like, mm-hmm. whoa. I mean, that there is the heart of a special relationship, you know, mm-hmm. where it's all about the physical form and not about seeing your partner as spirit and reminding yourself that they're just a reflection of who you really are,
mm-hmm.
which is the holy relationship version.
Right. And the cool thing is when you can switch into that holy relationship, right? When you can surrender that specialness in that moment, right? It becomes holy instantly. So you can take something that might be stirring up a reaction or response, attack, whatever, right? Defensiveness and all that stuff. And if you can release that, you can flip it in a second. And then it becomes, like you said, holy. And then I think there's a quote in there somewhere that said, there's no more sacred ground than where, an old hatred is turned into love or holiness, right? Where you flip it, where you take something that's been really burned deep into you, it's an old wound or something, and you can release that with that person, the help of that person who's attacking or stepping on that button, right? Because they're the blessing. They're making you aware of that wound, right? So they step on the button innocently, but you, instead of attacking them, you see the innocence and you recognize that you have an old wound that needs releasing, and you release it. In that moment, you have a beautiful, holy relationship, and that ground is made sacred in that sense that, you know, bam, you have sanctified everything. You know, it's kind of cool. You see it like that.
It is, yeah. And I mean, you basically said it. I mean, that's another theme in the course. They call it the holy instant. And that's when, again, things just flip and change immediately, and which is part of the miracle or forgiveness process, because everything is instant, because your real state is spirit, it is love, it is peace. And so you're just continuously reminding yourself that that's who you are and what appears to be other bodies out there as well. And so the more you're thinking in that state, the more you'll be that state. Which is why it's interesting, you know, the New Age metaphysical community, you know, they're really hitting on, you know, what you think about is what you create. And of course, you know, I think a lot of the focus though is on money or, you know, jobs, career, but the course is all about, well, if you want to get done faster, then instead of thinking about money and jobs and cars and stuff, you're thinking about God and spirit. That's it.
And healing and release. Whatever it is, it's bringing you out of peace.
It gets in your way, yeah. Exactly.
Look at that. It's you know, it's there inside, you know, and just needs to be released. I'm trying to find this one prayer, you know, the italicized quotes.
Yeah.
That one where, because it's all about, you know, I can't have this moment of peace for myself, but I can share it with my brother together. And so I would ask that that the Holy Spirit descend upon both of us and bring us both peace in this moment.
Exactly.
And
go ahead. Sorry.
It was one of those that I used with Jacqueline, my wife, when we were going through stuff in the early dating period, where a lot of stuff was coming up for both of us. And I had it on a 3x5, and it was kind of funny. I just mentioned this last Wednesday in a group, in a Course in Miracles group, but I had it on a 3x5 card, and I used to read it all the time. She had it, we would read it. And, you know, and because we were both triggering a lot of stuff for us. And that prayer was about releasing whatever was coming up to the Holy Spirit for healing, for release, for both. You know, that it's, and that we only heal together. And that was a really kind of a key way for both of us, I think, to heal through a lot of stuff.
Exactly. And that's where you transform, into more of a holy relationship. And I don't know why this popped up in my head, but it just sort of reminded me, you know, we're all on this journey. I think regardless of the timing, you know, we're trying to get from where we are now to remembering we're back home, you know, that we're in heaven, that we're total love, total peace. But the ego has set up, you know, all these different ways to kind of try to block us from getting there, because it just doesn't want us to achieve that, because that would mean that the ego doesn't exist anymore. And so I think, you know, along that journey, the ego just continuously puts roadblocks down. And at times you're going to need to figure it out for yourself. But a lot of the time it's going to be, you're moving forward because you're getting help from others, or you're seeing the way through others. And I think that's how you're utilizing more of the holy relationship versus special. Because a special, you would just get stuck right where you're at, because instead of focusing on who you are and what that other person really is and remove the roadblock, it's you're focused on their body, what they look like.
You're focused on the roadblock.
The thing that they just did. Yeah, exactly. you know, the thing that they just did that really upsets you, you know, and then you're stuck and they're stuck. Well, not they're stuck. They might be okay, but
it's your judgment of it is what makes it real, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
So you're like, they really are wrong. I really am, or they really did attack me. That really is bad. Da, 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 da. And all those judgments make that thing stick.
Exactly.
Makes it, you know, impossible to release it because you're judging it.
Yep. But then, like you said, as soon as you change your mind, all of a sudden, boom, it all goes away. And then you move forward.
And it for some things, obviously, it's trickier, right? You know, because they're deep old wounds and it's harder to get to the core of it. So there's a sense of patience with yourself and, you know, acceptance of where you are, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not attacking yourself for, oh, why can't I let this go in that one instant or whatever. But it can be.
Yeah,
there are moments, there are times. So don't limit yourself either in that sense. Oh, you know, this is going to take me 15 million times. You know, you can absolutely ultimately let go.
Yeah,
and in that instant, it's gone.
Like, exactly, literally. Exactly. And I think, you know, up to that point where you get really good at it, you kind of have to fake it till you make it. Mm-hmm. And there's a good quote. Again, it's in chapter 16. This is in section 6, paragraph 4. About halfway through that paragraph, but it says the great rays would mm-hmm. establish the total lack of value of the special relationship if they were seen. For in seeing them, the body would disappear because its value would be lost. And what I love about that is instead of, again, if you just practice going out in the world and instead of seeing the bodies that you see, you just sort of kind of do one of those just, I'm going to envision them as these great rays of light because that's what they are, spirit. And if that's all you do for even like 20 minutes in your day or 10 minutes in your day, just practice doing that, it's going to start shifting how you see everything and everybody, including yourself.
Yeah, and that reference to the great rays is kind of cool because I don't think there are very many of them. I thought I saw someone that said there were several, but I only remember that one.
Yep.
And you know, there are a lot of people that can see the rays, mm-hmm. and that's a reference to light.
Yep.
And, you know, there's different colors and aspects and spectrums of the light.
Yep.
And so that is a reference to seeing that light beyond the body and the form, right? And that wouldn't be tripping out on the form so much anymore.
Yeah. If the body disappears, like it says, and that's all you're seeing, and then you're just going to become that. And I think I can't remember if it was in the first or second Gary Renard book, but I know he had one of those experiences where I think he was just out raking leaves or something, and his wife's body disappeared, and in its place was this huge column of light that just extended up.
Yep. that's a pillar of light, right? Which is a magnification of the central column of light, the kundalini going up the spine, and when that thing enhances enough and you build enough light, bam, it can look like that. I found the quote that I wanted to read.
Okay.
But I was also going to say that there was a quote, I think there's a reference in the Bible, like, blessed are those who cannot see and yet they believe, right?
Yeah.
And that's been taught to me to mean esoterically that, you know, that if you can't see those great rays and you don't see those lights and you don't see the light of illumination within somebody, their soul light, the divine spark within each one of us, if you can see that spiritually with your sight, if you can see it, then it kind of makes it easier to believe you're not a body, right?
Yeah, right.
Because you can see the light. You say, wow, that beautiful radiant aura, the light coming out, streaming out, the great rays and all that stuff. Then it would make it very easy to know that you're not a body because you can actually see it. And so if you're not at a point where you can see it and yet you understand and you believe it, then there's a blessing for that, right? Blessed are those who cannot see and still believe. Mm-hmm. And that's what that's referring to, is that, you know, it's way easier to believe all this stuff if you could actually see the light.
Yep.
But there is a process of getting and opening up our own minds and shifting them to where you can get to a point where you actually do see it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that stuff is even referenced in the Bible. I think it says also, like, when the two eyes become one, the body should be filled with light. So there's all kinds of references to things that happen in the chakras, and you know, there's a, you know, unification in light of all of them into boom, one big blast of light, and that's you know, another reference to the light.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it's on page 384 of the Foundation for Inner Peace. It's chapter 18, The Passing of the Dream, the very end of section 6. And it says, I desire this holy instant for myself, that I may share it with my brother whom I love. It is not possible that I can have it without him, or he without me. Yet it is wholly possible for us to share it now. And so I choose this instant as the one to offer the Holy Spirit, that his blessing may descend upon us and keep us both in peace.
Hmm.
So that was one of my favorites and still is, you know, and it's kind of, you know, something comes up with the other person and you're triggered. You say, hey, it's my desire for peace, but I want peace for both of us, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can't have it by myself because that enforces separation, and we're here together and we're here to heal together. So even if you know, your mind and your ego is wanting to attack that person for being right, wrong, it kind of takes you out of that place because you're like, I can't have it without that person being at peace too. I want a blessing for all of us together. Let's, you know, we're in this together. And so that helped me to shift out of that mindset of I'm right, that person's wrong, I'm being attacked, I'm a victim, or whatever it was that was triggering for me. If I was out of peace at all for whatever reason, if I did that, it helped me to remember that we're all one, we're all together, and we only heal together through the special. But it's the vehicle is the special relationship, right?
Mm-hmm.
So exactly. If you look at things as opportunities and you know how to release and heal, you're healing through those things. So the special relationships are kind of like they're egoic manifestations, right? So mm-hmm. It's kind of like where people want to fear the ego and hate the ego, and I got to destroy my ego, and then the ego is an enemy, and I need to conquer it and cap. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And really, it's an aspect of this dimension, and ultimately you love it.
Yep.
You know, you love it. You learn to love it and understand it and know it. and laugh at it, you know, you go, it's okay, you know, and love heals it, right? Just like love heals a special relationship. So, you know, through the ego, you have these relationships that appear all wacky. And if you fear them, oh, I can't, you know what I mean? Like this job is a trigger or whatever, right? I got to get another job, right? This doesn't work. You're going through all of these different things. You can switch, but you're still doing the work. No matter what, you're still looking at where the trigger is and releasing it, right? And then you can decide from that place, you know what? I got it. You know, I'm releasing, I'm healing, I'm blessing, I'm radiating light. I'm doing all these things. I'm looking at all the triggers that are within me and I'm releasing those things. But I still want to do this, right? Mm-hmm. And to me, that's that whole seek first kingdom within, right? You connect within, you look at what's coming up, you're releasing all of that. And then you're making a decision from that place saying, you know what? I'd rather do this anyway, and you do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's kind of weird. This is exactly what we were talking about last Wednesday, but you're not, that's to me is the seek first the kingdom within, right? Mm-hmm. Something triggers you. You're looking at finding your peace within and why you don't have it at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Once you've returned to that peace, then you move, then you act, then you make a decision. And that decision will be more grounded. It'll be more peace and loving based. It'll be better. It'll be more productive than a reactive, egoic based response to a trigger while you're right in the trigger, right?
Yeah, right. Exactly. And I think that's why if you really understand the course, I mean, it's really saying, please, if you're going to be here, you know, be part of the world, have relationships, but just be mindful mm-hmm. of how you're seeing those relationships. Because again, it's not about sitting in a cave and meditating anymore, at least not, you can use the course so you don't do that, and that you can still achieve, you know, oneness with source, with God again, and probably in a much faster time frame. Because if you're surrounded by what appears to be all these crazy, insane bodies doing all these weird things, and yet you're reminding yourself that you're really surrounded by yourself, by spirit, and you're just going to achieve that much faster. Because again, the story that still sticks in my mind is one of the Buddhist allegories about, you know, a Buddhist monk that goes into a cave, meditates for 20 years, just totally blissed out, peaceful, and then decides to get up and walk in back into town. And the first person he sees, he gets pissed and smacks him in the face or something, you know?
Right.
That's exactly what the course is all about. Because it's like, you know, if you're by yourself, you don't really know if you're done until you test it out and you look at your brothers and sisters.
And it feels like there's an awareness in kind of the new age, whatever, the spiritual communities, that they're starting to talk about that. Because it used to be, and Jesh, and again, in that Way of Mastery, he has a whole tape where he talks about the ascension was done, you never left, mm-hmm. right? You know, you're still one with the Father. So this whole notion of, oh, I need to ascend is mm-hmm. just like kind of almost silly. It's like you're going, well, it's going back home, right? But the whole yeah. point of being in a body is the descent. He goes, it's not the ascension, it's the descension. It's like bringing that energy of oneness with your Father, of oneness with the creation, and bringing that into this dimension, into this body. It's
right.
fully embodying that, the light of the Christ in the physical body here, boom, embody yep. that. And yep. so that was a big, oh yeah, that makes sense, right? And you're starting to see more of that or hear more of that. At least I feel like I am in some of the talking. So people aren't talking about, you know, vibrating out of the planet anymore.
Yeah.
Which used to be more common, right? People would yeah. say they wanted to do that. I want to ascend and get out of this wacky place.
yeah. Because again, it's all around protecting your body, you know, and whatever escaping. That body is, which could be a spiritual body. But right. when again, you know, you hear things like, you know, I know I've talked to people when I was especially raised Catholic, they're like, wow, you know, Jesus is sitting there going, I sit at the right hand of the Father. And I'm like, that sounds pretty egotistical. And then when you see it from the Course's perspective, well, no, that's where we all are. You know, right. metaphorically, we're still in heaven. We're still with God. So again, the more you have a personal relationship with God, that's where your mind is going to be focused, and that's where you're going to go. Mm-hmm. That's the relationship ultimately you want to have. Again,
right? Is
and you can have that through the what appears to be bodies all around you.
Mm-hmm. And all these things, and even greater, you too shall do. Right. So all the yep. stuff that. You know, we are all meant to awaken and embody the light, that light, you know, now. So, all of us.
If hey. Only I could remember this every second of my life.
yeah, exactly.
That's the challenge. It's what started all this radio show stuff. Just how do you keep mindful of this, especially when you're in a workplace? You know, it's mm-hmm. challenging, and yet it's simple if you remember.
Yeah. I mean, you have those. It's for me, my experience has been is like, you know, it's always about working, it's always about looking at what's coming up for you
mm-hmm.
and just releasing. So I kind of have a simplistic approach, I think. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Some people have different approaches. Mine is really simple in the sense it's always about looking at what's going on, and it's always about just releasing it, not trying to figure it out and understand it too much.
Yep, exactly.
Sometimes seeing a connection from a past life or a past experience. Oh, when I grew up, you know, mom said this to me, and that's what's why the trigger's there. Mm-hmm. That helps for me.
Yeah.
So to see that, to have a quiet mind, like if you get triggered by your coworker or friend or whatever it is, you know, and you're out of peace, even if it's a little, and of course to say a minor irritation is the same as murderous rage. And I think as you start to heal some of the really big triggers that feel like murderous rage, then mm-hmm. it becomes more subtle. And that's where the awareness kicks in. It's like, wow, you know what? That guy said that and I was kind of irritated. You know, and, but you can always just go, that's no big deal, and just go on because it's just a minor irritation. But when you start to really dial into that, you know what? No, that was, I definitely wasn't feeling at peace at that moment. Well, what's that about, right? And really yeah. kind of connecting to all of those subtle things. And sometimes if you can quiet your mind and breathe into it and just do some breathing, and then those images pop up of, oh, wow, that reminded me of my mom nitpicking me on little thing or whatever, right? And he kind of, the comment was slightly nitpicky, so it felt like it triggered this old nitpicky thing that happened when I was a kid. And it's just releasing that, right? Mm-hmm. And not analyzing it and not saying, oh, was that from a past? Or, you know, but you, it's like there's enough right there. You saw it, let it go.
Yep.
And sending it love and blessing and, you know, forgiving and just releasing into the Holy Spirit that at that moment, you know, you can let that go. Now you see it. It's hard to let it go when you don't see it. But that's why this dimension, the way your present moment is a projection of all your subconscious stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it's a projection of it. It's made your unconscious made conscious.
Exactly. Yeah. That's why it's both. It is conscious, right? It's whatever you developed in what appears to be this lifetime, but it's also the collective unconscious that's all morphed in and trying to find its way through you personally to distract you and mm-hmm. get you to not remember who you are and where you are.
To get you lost in figuring that
yep.
stuff out outside of you out in that movie.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I think it's really easy, especially for newer core students, to get caught up in the, oh my God, there's all this stuff working against me. But again, the solution's always really easy. But yeah, but it's so easy to just think about who you are, where you are, especially with your seeing it through your brother or sister. It just pops you out every time.
Yeah.
It gets you right back closer to home, you know? So again,
it's so easy.
It's so easy, man.
Yeah. It's so well, easy cool. until it's not.
Until it's not, right? Until you get until caught up not. And then it and seems then. Like, yeah, it's a mountain again. And then it's not a mountain. Then it's an anthill again. Then, yeah. Well, hey, I think we're getting closer to our hour. And I want to make sure, Sheldon, that there is time for you to talk about AUM and then the Indiegogo opportunity.
So AUM artsunitymovement.com. So would love it if you checked us out there. We are about ready to launch a fundraising campaign. Arts Unity Movement is kind of the parent organization that we sponsor. We have a dance company that's directly part of our organization called New Ground Theater Dance. And we have been doing some pretty cutting edge work. And we have this space at 149 South Boulevard, which is where the Course in Miracles group meets on Wednesday nights. But in the back of that space, there's like a front office-y kind of space where we have our course meetings. In the back, we have almost 1,800 square feet, and we've put in a dance floor, but we need some seating, kind of like we're trying to put in a little bleachers-type seating arrangement, some Christmas tree-type lighting structures in the four corners. A very simple, basic sound system, so that we can have our next performance, which is going to be coming up in June. And it's really awesome. We're doing some really cool stuff we've been doing for a couple of years. I call it empathy made visible. That's what I just made up the other day when we were talking about it. But one of the artists had kind of came up with a term like empathic resonance, and what we were doing, and we've been doing this for a couple of years in different productions, where we would have artists come and see one of the kind of close to finalized rehearsals, and they would make artistic renderings, paintings, sculpture, drawings, sketches, whatever, based on the movement and what they're seeing and feeling from the performance. And then that artwork, the dancers get to see, and they actually get to respond to that. And so then the final performance becomes a gallery display of all the artwork that was done with this performance. And so it becomes a resonant, empathic, resonant flow between, you know, performer, witness, back and forth. And then the last couple of years, what we did was the audience, after they saw the actual show, came up on stage and did renderings, wrote poetry, did little kind of sketches and stuff like that. And we had the whole entire audience flooding the stage doing their response. I don't know if we're going to do that this year or not, but the whole idea of, and so that's why I was calling it empathy made visible. It's like you have an empathic response to what you saw, and then you did an artistic piece. So this is the representation of that empathy. And it's really, really cool. And it's helped people connect into the heart space, which is really what forgiveness and the Course is always doing. It's right out of the egoic judging mind into heart feeling center. And you can do that through dance, through witnessing dance, and theater. And, you know, that's what the highest form of those types of artistic productions is all about. It's about awakening. I believe that that was some of the original intention of, and I've heard this, but I haven't done a bunch of research on it, but I've heard that the original Greek tragedies, that that's what the whole point of it was. That theater in ancient Greece was all about awakening your heart and triggering emotional response, and so that you could see what was going on within you, that there was a higher healing purpose to the performances, which is what we're bringing back and doing. And we've had some pretty potent responses from audience members.
I can say personally, I've seen a couple of the shows and they're amazing and they do touch your heart. I've never experienced that, seen dance before. And again, how can people support this?
So we will be launching an Indiegogo campaign. So you can like us on Facebook. It's artsunitymovement.com. We also have Newground Theater Dance on Facebook. And if you go to our AUM, there is a place where you can sign up and give us your email address and connect with us. And then we will be launching that and sending out a mass email to everybody. So
awesome.
That would be great.
Yeah. Again, go ahead.
That's in the final stages of being set up and should be any day now. We'll send out the launch.
Awesome. We'll probably be talking more about this in our next show, but we're definitely at the top of our hour. And hopefully everyone enjoyed today's topic, special relationship. And Sheldon, always a pleasure.
That went quick.
Love you, brother. Yeah.
Love you too, brother. That was interesting. All right, cool.
Yeah. So we'll talk to everybody next time and enjoy your weekend.